Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that one was, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Oh,
yeah. Hey.
Once again,
I'm cracking. He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Gin, Game, and Chewy.
Every Monday during Packers season, we talk with our guy, Rob Domofsky, ESPN, NFL Nation, Packers reporter. Good morning, Rob. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Still recovering, I think. Still trying to make sense of everything. And
yeah.
Adam Schefter came out with the reports earlier this morning that you contributed to over on ESPN.com. But the tweet, Packers now expected to try to work out a deal in the coming days to keep head coach Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Per sources, Matt LaFleur currently has 1 year remaining on his contract. Both sides want clarity moving forward. What did you think when you initially heard this news after the way everything played out this weekend?
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts all over the map.
Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show.
So I guess let's take it at face value and assume that that they're genuine contract talks. That you know clearly it must mean that the Packers value some measure of stability. I want to go back to the quote from Mike Holmgren, and I mean no way saying that that Ed Policy read my story on Jordan Love and said, oh well, Mike Holmgren says we should have stability for the quarterback, and that's why we're keeping him. But this is an interesting quote. It was toward the end of my story, might have even been the very end of the story that ran last week. It was from Holmgren. If Love can stay with the same system and same coach for a while, that helps. It really helps. LaFleur and those guys right now are doing a good job. They're consistent. They've been there for a while, so he's in a good spot. It's possible that Ed Policy shares that opinion, right? And that they think the best, they've invested all this money in Jordan Love, and that the best thing for him to maximize his window, which is, you know, he's in the prime of it right now, would be to keep the coach. Now, it's also possible, and hear me out on this, Gabe, and this is just pure speculation on my part, but is it possible they're talking about an extension that they know LaFleur wouldn't take, right? Like they're going to set up for it. And then it makes them look like, hey, we tried, but, you know, ultimately we decided we couldn't come to an agreement. Or is LaFleur going to go in there and say, I want $16 million, and the Packers say no? This doesn't necessarily mean that that he's the coach next year and for the year after and year after. But I do think all those things are in play here.
Before you ask Rob a question, I completely agree with you, Rob, because I think the language that Adam used on social media is important. Mm-hmm. They're expected to try to work out a deal. Yep. Both sides want clarity moving forward. Like that doesn't mean that this is a slam dunk, that they're going to do a lock up some sort of extension for LaFleur in the coming days.
But correct. Don't they have to I agree with that.
Don't they have to move quickly, Rob?
Yes.
Because, I mean, candidates are going to start going away. And do you think the Packers are going to put the caveat in there that, hey, you got to fire some assistants?
Oh,
these guys aren't good enough.
Yeah, the second part of that, Chewy, whether the Packers say it or LaFleur knows it, I would assume that there will be some coaching changes. Now, his history tells us that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't tend to fire coaches mm-hmm. maybe as quickly as he should. He's fired them, maybe not, you know, not. I mean, I think some people think that they kept, you know, a defensive coordinator around a year too long or kept a special teams coach around a year too long. I would anticipate if LaFleur's back, there still could be three new coordinators next year, assuming Halfley gets a job, which LaFleur said yesterday he assumes he will. But as far as the first part of the question about, you know, other candidates, yeah, I mean, Mike McDaniel's interviewing somewhere today. I just saw Cleveland. Like, if that's a guy you wanted, you can't mess around too long. Now, on the flip side, I will say this. If some of those candidates think the Packers job might open, they might say, let's wait a little bit on Cleveland or Atlanta or New York or whatever. I mean, I do think the Packers are in a good spot. But, yeah, if they're still, if they get to the end of this week, Chewy, and they're at a stalemate, that's too long. Like, this has to be done by Wednesday-ish, I would say.
Yeah. Rob, you think LaFleur could bait him into firing him, though? Knowing that he would be, him and Harbaugh would be the number one guy for he might be like, I've had enough of this. I'm not appreciated here. I want $16 million in 5 years.
Sure.
Force himself to get the fired. Then move on.
That's the flip side of the Packers offering a deal that they know LaFleur wouldn't take. Is LaFleur demanding something he knows they won't give? And then he can say, he can say, hey, they didn't commit to me. So, I think both sides, there's an out still here for both sides.
Let's say he does eventually come back, which, again, we're trending in that direction, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the ultimate resolution. How hard is, given the collapse on Saturday night, given that it was the third time this season, which is a hard thing to say out loud, that they were up by 10 or more with 5 minutes left, it was the third time they lost a game like that this season. How hard is it for LaFleur to go back into that locker room for the team to trust him?
I'll tell you what, Gabe, and I don't know if it was just BS, player cliche speak, but I didn't find a guy in that locker room who said, we have no faith in this guy. Josh Jacobs maybe came out the absolute strongest in favor of LaFleur. I mean, Quay Walker's quote was not necessarily about LaFleur, but it may have been a reflection on LaFleur, basically about how this franchise has had games like this long before I got here. But heck, that could be, he could be going back to previous coaches, not necessarily. That was about the most, I guess, damning thing in the whole thing was Quay Walker's quote. But, everybody I talked to or every interview I heard and listened to that even I wasn't in front of the locker for did not sound like that would be a problem.
And that includes...
Did you take away anything where anybody would would necessarily have a big problem with that?
I agree with you from everything I saw, and that includes Jordan Love, who voiced support.
The thing is he treats players well. Like if this guy was players want to be treated well, and I am not saying players don't want to win. They 100% want to win, but players will get over this much quicker than fans will.
Oh yeah.
Am I right about that, Chewy?
Oh, totally. Totally right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've always believed that. I think if players are treated well, treated fairly, treated like people, not like commodities. I think in general players appreciate that, and I think they do appreciate that about LaFleur from what I can tell.
Rob, I see that Halfley's up to 5 interviews now. I think last week you said it's 50-50 chance. Are you still standing by that?
The weird thing is, as poorly as they played in the fourth quarter, I might up the percentage and I think there's a better chance he's gone. I mean, Matt LaFleur would not have said yesterday what he said if he didn't feel like he was probably going to lose Halfley. Like he made it, he basically said it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be looking for, he's like, he's going to get one of these jobs. So
yeah.
he must have talked to, heck, they might even have the same agent, who knows, but they clearly he knows something there. So I would say there's probably more like 75% chance that Halfley gets one.
Well, yeah, because he's got 5 interviews, Rob. And I'm not in the room, but just from the video that I watch of him talking to you guys every Thursday, like I can't imagine that guy not nailing an interview.
Yeah, I was going to say, he'll win the interview, no question about it.
Yeah.
I'm a really personable guy and really likable. It's just a matter of, whether a team really wants to hire a defensive head coach. So I think that eliminates you from some places. And the other thing, you got to think about this. When these teams are interviewing candidates, they're interviewing people that they want to know about where they came from, too. It's a little bit of a spy operation in a lot of ways for some of these interviews. Not saying that they all are legitimate interviews, but I don't know that all of them are. It's actually a really good opportunity and really the only opportunity you have as a franchise to sort of peek behind the curtain of another team.
Rob, we all know tampering happens. I mean, I think we can all agree that tampering happens. Yep. And I did not realize, that Bob Harlan's son represents John Harbaugh. Do you think they kicked the tires a little bit? You think?
Yeah. Well, I don't even. First of all, I don't even know if that's tampering, Chewy. Like, I mean, John Harbaugh is unemployed, right? Like, if Harbaugh was the coach of a team and the Packers called his agent, that's a little sketchier. But you know, and look, I don't think this. I love Bob Harlan. Bob Harlan was a great leader. I don't think anybody over at 1265 even ever worked with Bob Harlan. Like, I don't think there's a connection there in any way, shape, or form other than they know his last name. Like, Brian Harlan probably hasn't been in that building in 30 years, you know? But, no, now Brian Harlan did represent Pat Fitzgerald, probably maybe still does. And I remember when the Packers interviewed him when they hired LaFleur, right?
Yeah, when they hired LaFleur,
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Brian has definitely had some contact with, but that was Mark Murphy. And obviously, you know, the Pat Fitzgerald, Mark Murphy connection to Northwestern. But, yeah, I mean, Brian Harlan's a really good agent. I don't think anybody at Lambeau Field in that front office even ever even worked with Bob Harlan, and maybe only a couple have ever even talked to him.
I guess I just look at that that report, Rob, as Harbaugh's camp putting out there that, yeah, if that job opens, I'd be interested. I guess that's the way I looked at it when Shefty reported that.
It's almost a way of saying to Ed Policy, you know, hey, if you're thinking about firing LaFleur but you're not sure, you know, who you can get, you can get me.
That's just kind of the way I looked at that when that report ultimately came out. When do you think this ultimately gets resolved one way or the other?
I would think by midweek, Wednesday, maybe-ish. I mean, if we go into Friday and they still don't have a deal, then you're getting into danger territory for both sides, I think, just like what you mentioned, Chewy, with, you know, job filling can falling, you know, falling off and getting hired. I would think, you know, 48 hours or so. That's sort of what I, you know, was given a timeline by a couple people last night, basically saying, I think this thing will be resolved within 48 hours of last night. So actually, maybe we're looking at the end of Tuesday.
And then does this negotiation, Rob, affect Goody?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Goody, Chewy, is, you know, we don't know if they're going to give Goody more control, which I've heard that they have considered and might do. But do they give him control after they've already done LaFleur, or is he involved in this right now? You know, like, that's one thing I don't know, and I think would be hard. Like, if you want to go back to the old structure and let Goody, you know, hire the head coach, is Goody the one making this decision now, or do you do that after you hired him, but then Goody says, okay, well, if I want to fire him next year, can I fire him next year? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know the how the timing of it all lines up if they end up going with that way. But, yeah, I mean, look, if LaFleur is getting an extension, you darn well know that Goody's getting one, because I think he was on firmer ground the whole way.
Yeah, I guess I'm just at the point, if they do bring back LaFleur, Rob, I think as long as both of those guys are in the building, you have to keep the structure the way it is. Like, it's just been too long, and I think it opens up an area for some uncomfortability that you just don't want to deal with if suddenly one's in charge of the other. And if there's, if Policy makes the decision to extend him but then elevates Goody, like, that's still that's unclear of, wait, do I still need your permission? It's too murky, I'm out on that.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. But, yeah, like, if you're going to elevate Goody to that power, then he needs to be the one deciding about LaFleur right now. And who knows? Maybe he is. Maybe they've talked about that, and he is. I don't know that.
Rob, if there was a better coaching pool, like a Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen this year, you think they would have fired him? You think that had anything to do with it?
You know, that's a great question, Chewy. I can't remember if I've told you guys about this, but I've talked about this on the other shows on the station. I am a believer, this is just me, I'm not in charge, but I am a believer in, if you don't think you have the right guy, you need to make a move regardless of what the pool is out there. Like, that's just, you know, like, I don't subscribe to the, well, I don't know if we can get anybody better. But if you don't think your guy is the guy to lead you to a Super Bowl, then you have to make a move. And look, they didn't know they were going to hire Matt LaFleur when they fired Mike McCarthy. Matt LaFleur blew him away in an interview. You know, that, and that's how it went there. And I think, I mean, regardless of what you think of LaFleur now, I think, you know, at the time it was the right decision. I mean, he was hired to get Rodgers back to an MVP level. He did. Now they came up short, you know, in the Super Bowl, but they got, or to get to the Super Bowl, but they got on the precipice of it twice, right? He part of his job is to turn Jordan Love into a franchise quarterback, and I think he's done that. So, you know, whatever you call a successful tenure, you know, I don't think LaFleur is going to go down as a bad hire in any way, shape, or form. So, and my point is they didn't know that that's who they were going to hire. So, maybe some people do think of it that way, Chewy. I don't, you know, I don't know. But I just personally, if you're asking my opinion, I wouldn't, I would not operate that way. But again, I'm just talking to you guys and not in charge of anything.
Rob, I think you can extend that to even when McCarthy was hired, because I think the Saints, when McCarthy was the OC, were like the 30th or 31st ranked offense when McCarthy
got
hired.
It was San Francisco.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he did well with the Saints. But the only thing I will say about this is I remember Ted who hired him, right?
Ted hired Mike, yeah.
Ted saying how that one year that that McCarthy was here as quarterback's coach under Ray Rhodes, everyone really liked him. So that name was, you know, that was sort of on their board. You know, it wasn't like he just happened to come up on a list of people that they wanted to interview. They did know the guy. But, yeah, I mean, there's degrees. Nothing's just clear-cut. Like, there's nuance to all this stuff.
Rob, we certainly appreciate the time. We appreciate your time throughout the course of the season. I'm sure we'll check in plenty of times throughout the especially if something happens throughout the course of this week. I'm sure we could check in. But, again, always appreciate you jumping on and providing clarity and everything with the Green and Gold on Mondays.
You know what I love about this segment, Gabe, is we didn't talk one bit about that football game.
I know.
that actually validates how I sort of feel like what fans want, because who cares? Like, at this point, that's not even – like, who cares? Like, let's just get on to what's happening in the future. Like, you know, we had LaFleur yesterday for almost a half hour, and, yeah, there were some questions about things that happened in the game, but I'm like, man, that's not – who cares? Let's move on to the big story, and that's who's going to be coaching this team, who's going to be running the offense and the defense and the special team. So I appreciate that, Gabe, because I did go back and rewatch the game yesterday. But I don't need to think about it anymore.
Yeah, look, I don't think any fan wants to think about it anymore. No. It was too painful on Saturday night. Appreciate you, Rob. We'll talk
to you
soon.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys, we'll be seeing you.
ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And again, you can find a lot of Rob's great stuff over on that ESPN app, because a lot of times when that trophy is raised, it can feel like the season is over. Or maybe when your team falls short in the postseason, it feels like the season is over. But on the ESPN app, it never really is, because they have more than 47,000 live events, plus originals, highlights, coverage from every corner of the sports world, always something to dive into. There is no off-season over at the ESPN app, just everything a fan needs to keep the season going. Always in season, get all of ESPN all in one place. Download the ESPN app on your TV or phone today.